Well, good morning to everyone. If you would open your Bibles with me to Paul's epistle to Titus, Titus chapter 3. It has been such a good weekend. The messages we've heard have just been absolutely outstanding. Fellowship, the time we've had together, I'm looking forward to hearing what the Lord has for us today. Titus chapter 3, we'll read the first 7 verses. Put them in mind to be subject to principalities and powers, to obey magistrates, to be ready to every good work, to speak evil of no man, to be no brawlers, but gentle, showing all meekness unto all men. For we ourselves also were sometimes foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving divers lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy, hateful and hating one another. But after that the kindness and love of God our Savior toward man appeared, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy, He saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost, which He shed on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior, that being justified by His grace, we should be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life. Let's bow together in prayer. Our Father, how we thank You for Your infinite goodness and grace to Your people in our Lord Jesus Christ. It could only be by the obedience of Christ our Savior, by His sacrifice, by His precious blood, that we could be made whole, cleansed, and righteous in Thy sight. How we thank You for Your mercy and Your grace. Salvation for dead sinners could only come by the mercy and grace of God Almighty. Father, we're thankful. Father, we're thankful for this opportunity to meet together and to worship Thee, to sing praises to Your name, and to hear Your gospel preached one more time. Father, we're thankful that today is the day of salvation. Father, I beg of You that You bless Your word as it's preached. You promised that Your word would not return unto You void, that it would accomplish the purpose whereunto You sent it. And Father, we pray for a purpose, Your purpose of mercy and grace, Your purpose of comforting and edifying, instructing Your people through the preaching of Christ our Savior. We thank You for the messages we've heard so far, and Father, I pray You that You'd bless our brothers, Kevin and Chris, this morning, that You'd bless them especially in preaching. You'd bless us in hearing. Father, all these things we ask, and we give thanks and praise through the name and the person of our Lord Jesus Christ. It's for His glory and His sake we pray. Amen. All right, Sean, you come lead us in singing a couple hymns.
If you would please, get out your red hymnal, stand, and we'll sing song number 127, Hallelujah, What a Savior.
Man of sorrows, what a name for the Son of God who came. Ruined sinners to reclaim. Hallelujah, what a Savior. Bearing shame and scoffing rude, in my place condemned He stood. Sealed my pardon with His blood. Hallelujah, what a Savior. Guilty, vile, and helpless we, spotless Lamb of God was He. Full atonement, can it be? Hallelujah, what a Savior. Lifted up was He to die, it is finished was His cry. Now in heaven exalted. exalted high. Hallelujah, what a Savior. When he comes, our glorious King, all his ransomed home to bring, then anew this song we'll sing. Hallelujah, what a Savior.
If you would, please continue standing and turn to song number 176, Break Thou the Bread of Life.
Break Thou the Bread of Life, dear Lord, to me. As Thou didst break the loaves beside the sea, beyond the sacred page, I seek Thee, Lord. My spirit pants for Thee, O living Word. Bless Thou the truth, dear Lord, to me. As Thou didst bless the bread by Galilee, then shall all bondage cease, all fetters fall, and I shall find my peace, my all in all. Thou art the bread of life, O Lord, to me. Thy holy word, the truth that saveth me. Give me to eat and live with Thee above. Teach me to love Thy truth, for Thou art love. O send the Spirit, Lord, now unto me, that He may touch my eyes and make me see. Show me the truth concealed within Thy word, and in Thy book revealed, I see Thee alone.
Wonderful, merciful Savior, precious Redeemer and friend, who would have thought that a lamb would rescue the souls of men? Oh, you rescued the souls of men. Counselor, Comforter, Keeper, Spirit we long to embrace. You gave us hope when our hearts had hopelessly lost our way. Oh, we hopelessly lost our way. You are the one that we praise. You are the one we adore. You gave us healing and grace our hearts always hungered for. Oh, our hearts always hungered for. mighty infinite Father, faithfully loving the lost. Here in our weakness you find us, falling before your throne. Oh, we're falling before your throne. You are the one that we praise. You are the one we adore. You gave us healing and grace our hearts always hungered for. Oh, our hearts always hunger for. You are the one that we praise. You are the one we adore. You gave us healing and grace our hearts always hunger for. Oh, our hearts always hunger
for. Our first speaker this morning, Pastor Kevin Thacker, San Diego Grace Fellowship. He's come a long way. Kevin, it's been worth it. Preach two outstanding messages. I pray the Lord bless you again this morning. Many of you may not know, since Kevin and Kimberly arrived in Kentucky, Kevin's been an old-time itinerant preacher. Kevin, all you need is one of them big black hats and a horse, right around. He preached Thursday night in Pikeville, Kentucky, Friday, Saturday, Sunday here, and this evening, Lord willing, he's going to preach at Todd's Road Grace Church in Lexington. So, Kevin, we pray for you this morning as you and Kimberly travel and preach tonight. And he'll be heading back home tomorrow to preach at home Wednesday. So we're very thankful that you're here. Pray the Lord bless you, brother.
Thank you, Frank. Thank you all for having me. We've had such a good time, and I just appreciate fellows in the same ship. Enjoyed your company and your time, and we're thankful to be here. I hope this morning I'm only going to quote Chris three times. That's all right. He said he got nervous the other day. I was tore all to pieces. I'm young. I don't have the repertoire to fall back on. Some of these more seasoned fellows do. If you will, let's open our Bibles to John chapter 13. John chapter 13. Many people read this passage of Scripture in John 13 and they say, boy, this here's a good lesson in Christian humility. It is. If that's all we walk away with, you got nothing. You missed Christ. Here in John 13, I'm going to read our text. We're going to read the first 17 verses and then go back and look at it. John 13, verse 1. Now before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour was come, that he should depart out of this world unto the Father, having loved his own, which were in the world, he loved them unto the end. And supper being ended, the devil having now put into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him. Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands, and that he was come from God and went to God, knowing that, verse 4, he riseth from supper, and laid aside his garments, and took a towel, and girded himself. He wrapped it around him, tied it tight. After that, he poured water into a basin, and began to wash the disciples' feet, and to wipe them with the towel wherewith he was girded. Then cometh he to Simon Peter, and Peter saith unto him, Lord, dost thou wash my feet? Jesus answered and said unto him, what I do thou knowest not now, but thou shalt know hereafter. I'm about to teach you something, Peter. We're about to learn something. I want you to watch carefully. Verse 8, Peter saith unto them, thou shalt never wash my feet. Jesus answered him, "If I wash thee not, thou hast no part with me." Simon Peter saith unto him, "Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head. You wash all of me." Jesus saith unto him, "He that is washed needeth not save to wash his feet." You don't need the whole of you washed, just your feet, Peter. "But is clean every whit. And ye are clean, but not all." For he knew who should betray him. Therefore he said, "Ye are not all clean." So after he had washed their feet and had taken his garments and was set down again, he said unto them, "Know ye what I've done to you?" You know what just happened? Oh, I pray this morning he'd show us what just happened. "You call me Master and Lord, and you say, well, for I am. If I, then, Lord and Master, have washed your feet, ye also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example, that ye should do as I have done to you. Verily, verily, Lord God Almighty says, truly, truly, I say unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord, neither he that is sent greater than he that sent him. If you know these things," you know these things, "happy are ye if you do." Happy are ye if you do. It says there in verse 1. We know this isn't a story of teaching us to watch each other's feet, right? I'm thankful. Y'all don't want to watch my feet. I don't want to wash your feet. We know that's not what it is. Pray the Lord be with us this morning. Verse 1 says, "Now there, before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that this hour was come, his hour was come, that he should depart out of this world unto the Father, having loved his own, which were in the world, he loved them unto the end." That hour. Boy, that's spoken of often, wasn't it? Mary was at the wedding, and our Lord performed his first miracle. And she said, "They don't have enough wine, they ran out." He responded to his mother and said, "Woman, what have I to do with thee? Mine hour is not yet come." That was what was ever on his mind, what this hour. Jesus answered them and saying, "The hour has come," that's what our brother read the other day, "that the Son of Man should be glorified." That hour of glorification. He went on to say, "Now is my soul troubled. And what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour." This hour he was speaking of. Does he need to pray that it doesn't come to pass? He said, "But for this cause came I unto this hour." It's a pivotal point. It's an important hour. And this glorification, this exaltation, this completion of the work, it was for the love of his own. That cross of Calvary. What was that? A display of the love of his own. It said, "Having loved his own which were in the world, he loved them unto the end." He loved his own. That's why this hour was purposed in that determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God. In the purpose of the Father and the love before time for his people, for his own. Because of the love for his own. That's not everyone without exception, is it? We have verse 2, don't we? Lord gave us that. It says, "And the supper being ended, the devil had now put into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him." Wasn't for Judas, was it? Wasn't for Esau, was it? I used to read that, says not for me either. That's me, isn't it? Not everyone without exception. It says, "Having," that's beforehand, "having loved his own in the world." That's those in those days that was there around him. Those before him, wasn't it? Abel, Abraham, Elijah, all of them. For those in his day and for us in our day. And loved his own in this world until that last one's loved. That last one's brought to know him. He loves them to the end. What's that mean? Does he love us to the end of our physical lives? He sure does. Does he love us to the end of his physical life, till he went to that cross? Of course he did, yes. But we were loved with an everlasting love. That's how we're called. That's how we're drawn to him, that everlasting love. We're set apart. We're purposed to be in Christ by this love. a love without beginning, and a love without end. But he loved his own to the end of the work on that cross. Go read Matthew 27 sometime. Read it slow, read it out loud, and then I ask you a question at the end of it. How'd that make you feel? That's where he loved us to. All the way there, all the way into death. So the punishment was completely given. The full wrath of God poured out on him for all of his people. I can't imagine how much that wrath is just for me. Every one of his children throughout time. And that sacrifice, it was accepted. It was poured out until the Father was eternally satisfied completely. John tells us later in his life, he said, "Herein is love, not that we love God, but that He loved us." Well, people brag about their love for God, don't they? What did he tell us in John 1? He said, "Came unto his own received him not." That's the Jews, right? Was I just begging him and hugging him and washing his feet before he ever come to me? No, I was at enmity with God. I was an enemy of God. He died for the ungodly while we were still in our sins. That's when he laid down his life. That's when he went to the cross for me. I wasn't born yet. Born in enmity. Born in sin. That hour was coming, and that love he hath for, it's eternal, hath for his own. It was Christ being the propitiation. That atonement, that one, the bloody acceptable sacrifice. That's what's coming in that hour. And this love for his own, the Lord Jesus Christ is going to show his own this act of love, this act of substitution. He's going to teach his people. They're going to know about it. There he is. They will be taught of God, and he's going to reveal his love and his elect children, and he's going to do that happily and willingly. Willingly. Just as that condensation, he came and was made a man. Willingly. He went to the cross. Willingly. He died willingly. No man take my life from me. I lay it down. Willingly. He was living for his people. He was hanging on that cross for his own. His burial was for his people. His resurrection. What tell Martha? I am the resurrection. He's our intercession. It says in verse 3 there, John 13, 3. Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands, and that he was come from God and went to God. Well, if you know that today was the day, you got 4 hours left on this earth, and you're going to be in glory. That's what that thief on the cross has the most recorded assurance that anybody ever lived. Today you're going to be with me in glory. If you knew, you got just a couple hours left. Would you, boy, you know what? Let me go help Frank move a chair. And I want to go wash Vicky's car. I'm worried about me. I'm on my father's, right? Would we be concerned about washing other people's feet? If we had the mind, spirit, and faith of Christ, we would be with him. He did. Let's turn over to Philippians chapter 2 real quick. Philippians chapter 2. Paul wrote to the church of Philippi here in chapter 2, verse 5. He says, "Let this mind be in you, which is also in Christ Jesus, who, being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God." Why is that lamb provided? This lamb slain before the foundation of the world. Why is it worth so much? Why is that blood so precious? Because it's the blood of God. He is God. He's the Almighty God in human form. He came down and girded a towel of flesh around him. Came in a body. He put off his robe of holiness, of righteousness, with God in heaven and became a man of no comeliness. He'd walk down the street and we'd probably step to the other side of the street to walk around him in our day. It says in verse 7, "But he made himself of no reputation and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men." He willfully removed that holy heavenly garment, girded himself as a man just like me and you, as a servant, not just a man that was a servant. Why? Because he loved his own. And that hour coming was necessary. It says in verse 8, "And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross." Why did he have to die on that cross? The wages of sin is death. For there's no blood, there's no remission of sin. That's necessary. That hour is necessary. He must come and bear his own. Those he perfectly loved from everlasting to everlasting. And he's going to draw them near. He's going to reveal that love of him, who he is, to his people. Now back in our text, he's going to show us. John 13, look in verse 4. John 13, 4. "He riseth from supper, and laid aside his garments, and took a towel, and girded himself. After that, he poured water into a basin, and began to wash the disciples' feet, and to wipe them with the towel wherewith he was girded." I'll tell you what the custom was in that day. The lowest ranking servant of the master, that family, guests, come into that home, they would wash the feet of everyone that come in. They'd go around, they didn't have pavement and blacktop and concrete like we do. They'd walk and their feet get real dirty. And before they come into the home, whoever was lowest on the pecking order, they would wash the feet, clean them up good, and then they'd go sit at the table and have dinner, whatever they was going to do. That was an entry-level position. It's like, years ago, I took out trash and I cleaned toilets, didn't I, Frank? That's where I started. That was the lowest servant. That was the newest one. Here's Simon's house where they're meeting, having this supper. Simon didn't have no servants to do that, did he? Who became the lowest ranking one in the home? Christ did. Christ did. That's to show you and I, he rose from the table he was setting with his Father, the Holy Ghost, and he laid aside his garments. And he put on the flesh of a man. He girded himself in flesh. And he has a basin there. Just like that trench around Elijah and then prophets of Baal. He said, "You dig a trench around here. That blood and that water ain't going to go just all over, is it?" Well, this basin, he ain't going to just have a water hose spraying everybody in the room. There's a basin. This is individual. It ain't wasted. He's coming one by one to each of them. It's not haphazard. There's a fountain filled with blood drawn from Emmanuel's veins. And this towel was girded. It was tied to him. Boy, I sat and thought about that for a long time. How would you, if I had to wash 10 people's feet, what would you do? I'd go get at least 5 towels, maybe 10. 10 keep them happy. And I'd wash, but that thing got dirty. Give me another one. Wash my hands and I'm going to get another towel. This towel was tied to him. That dust he was washing off their feet, off the disciples' feet. It was attached to his garment. It was attached to his body. It was bound to him. He bore it. All that dust was carried on their feet. And now he carries it. It went from them to him. What's that dust? That's our sin in it. Wet dust. It was mud. Miry clay. Man. Red dirt. Adam. For his own. For those there. For his children. Christ bore in his body, on a tree, mud, our sin, me. It didn't represent my mud. It was my mud. Oh, God Almighty looked at him, and my mud was his, and I was his cleanliness. That's what it was. You see, this is not just an example of Christian humility. This is how men and women are made justified and holy before a holy God we offended. That's how it takes place. Peter didn't see that at the time, did he? We read this and we don't see this at the time, do we? Look at verse 6 and 7. "Then cometh he to Simon Peter, and Peter saith unto him, Lord, dost thou wash my feet? Jesus answered and said unto him, What I do, thou knowest not now, but thou shalt know hereafter. He said, Peter, you don't understand right now what I'm doing. You're watching me wash their feet. I'm getting ready to tell you what this is. In this life, you're going to understand a little bit about what this is, but in that life to come, oh, we're going to spend eternity talking about this thing. You're going to know it then. Peter yanked his feet back. You touch my feet, Lord. I don't condone Peter questioning the Lord. None of us ought to. We ought not question the Lord, but I understand it. I understand it. He knew who that was. Peter knew that was Almighty God in the flesh, getting down like a servant about to wash his feet. He said, Lord, I ought to be washing your feet. That's what ought to be. But ought to be like Eli. It is the Lord, let him do what seemeth him good. We could have that obedience. We could just wait on the Lord. If we knew that we didn't know so much, I don't know what I don't know. Think about that. There's so much I don't know. I don't have a clue how much that is. If we can just wait on Him, He knows. This religious world, they have answers for every little thing, don't they? Somebody asked one time, so do you ever, a friend at work said, would you ever do a Q&A? And I said, no. I said, my old job, we called that stump the chump. I'm 95% of my answers are going to be, I'm going to have to get back with you on that. And they know they ain't going to stick around too long, are they? I'm not playing that game. We don't know much. It's like that blind man. I kept asking him, how, not who. All we have to know is who. I have no person. I have no Him. That's all I got to know. Right now, we that know the Lord, we that know Him, and we do know Him, there's so much more we don't know. We see in part. We prophesy in part. We look through that dim glass. But we grow in grace and knowledge and understanding, don't we? He grows us. Grows us in grace. And boy, ain't you glad that's a slow growth. I grew a lot when I was a teenager. And it hurt. You ever been growing pains? Some of y'all remember that. You kind of wrist, it's aching. You know, look. Imagine if that happened all one day. Whoa, you'd scream. Feel like your bones was tearing apart, wouldn't you? I'm thankful the Lord grows me slowly in grace. I couldn't bear it. I couldn't bear my own sin, seeing what I am. I couldn't. My eyes be blinded by His holiness. Well, I'm glad He teaches us just as a proper teacher ought. Well, just like me, no different. Peter's pretty headstrong, isn't he? Look here in verse 8. Peter saith unto him, thou shalt never wash my feet. Never. He said that before, didn't he? He was resolute. He was adamant. Peter always, he committed. He had full commitment, didn't he? He stood strong. He told the Lord before, he said, these others, they're all going to forsake you. They might. I'll never forsake you. Men claim this and many aspects of religion. They say, oh, it's for the glory of Christ. We got to do our part. For the glory of Christ, we must serve. Have to. That's part of it. We do serve. They say you must. They say they must carry part of the load. We must bear the burden. We must cleanse our part, at least a couple toes of that foot. No, you must be made one with Christ. He must be your surety 100%. That's what must happen. He must save you from your sins. All of them. Outside of speaking about our Lord and His promises, we declare the gospel. I should not be so concrete and absolute in my words. I do that a lot. And that's just my vocabulary. I'm going to be in Lexington tonight. Well, I might be in Lexington tonight and I might not be. I'll say if the Lord will, shouldn't I? But the promises of the Lord, those we can stand on, can't we? He said never. Did you know that? He said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. My nevers don't matter. His does. That's what we need to look at. He says in verse 8, Peter saith unto him, Lord, thou shalt never wash my feet. Jesus answered and said, if I wash thee not, thou hast no part with me. Notice he didn't say, if I don't wash your feet. If I don't wash your feet, you have no part with me. He said, if I don't wash you, thee, the whole up. If I don't do all the work, you ain't got no part of me. Who does the washing? Christ did the washing. What was washed? The totality of me. All of them. What are His own washed in? The blood of the Lamb. His blood. There in verse 9 it says, Simon Peter saith unto him, Lord, he got it now, didn't he? The Lord spoke to his heart. Lord, not only my feet, but also my hands and my head. He said, wash all of them. You know what he's saying there? Lord, you got to wash my feet. I have a wicked walk in this world. Who's going to take care of my wicked walk in this world? Christ is. Lord, my hands, all my works, everything I touch is just wicked. You got to wash me. It's dirty. Unclean. It ain't clean. You got to wash me. My head, every thought, every imagination that goes through this brain. I sin while I sleep. I sin when I don't know I'm sinning. You got to wash that too. Every bit of it. Hearing the gospel preached, hearing the person and the work of Christ, who He is and what He did in and for His people. What that blood is, what the worth of that blood is. Hearing that, it doesn't make a person say, you know what, I need to start walking the straight and narrow. I need to get right. That's how we're going to get that. No, no, no. When the Spirit moves on a sinner in the heart through the preaching of the Word, the preaching of Christ, they, like Peter, they beg to be thoroughly and throughly washed. Not to make others walk right, not to make others not have dirt on their feet, they beg me, Lord, wash me. Wash all of them. Don't they? Love me and wash me. It's all of them. And He does this for His own. We still live in this world. We're housed in this body of death. Don't we? Now in verse 10 it says, Jesus saith unto him, He that is washed need not save to wash his feet, but is every whit clean. That could be kind of hard to read. So my pastor, you say, I want to help you if you let me. Okay, I've experienced this. The Lord sent me halfway around the world to know what this means. And I want to tell you about it. He's saying there, he that's washed, if you're washed head, feet, hands, the whole of you, you don't need to be washed again. You just need your feet cleaned. That's it. I was on the other side of the world, and I had to walk a couple hundred meters, a couple hundred yards to go to a shower. And so I'd put my flip-flops on, and I'd go walking to go shower. And I'd get every bit clean. I'd be clean, right? I'd put my flip-flops on, and I'd walk back through all that sand and dirt and rocks and everything else. And I'd get to my room, my hair's clean, I smell good, my hands are clean, my thighs are clean. Boy, my feet's dirty. So I sat on Heather's bed, and I had to wipe my feet off and clean them up real good and dry them again. And now I was clean all over. Every time I went to go shower, my feet got dirty. You bought by the blood of Christ, you are every whit clean. Totally. Forever. But our feet's still in this world. I'm still in this body of death. I still walk around on this earth. Our salvation, our eternal life is in Christ, and it's right now. But I still walk in this world. I know we're led by the Spirit. We walk by faith. But our old man ain't dead yet. I'm still housed in this body of death. And our Lord taught us to pray about those things, didn't He? He said, Lord, lead me not into temptation. Father, keep me from sinning. Keep me out of the dust of this world. Does that mean it ain't going to happen? He also told us to pray too. He said, forgive us our sins. Because I've walked in this world all day. I've walked in this body. That old Puritan wrote, he said, I wake up praying to the Lord every morning to keep me from sinning. And I go to sleep every night praying, Lord, forgive all the sinning I did today. We need mercies new every day. We need our pure minds stirred, being reminded of that person that is our salvation every day. Not of this world. I don't need to keep... If I look at myself, boy, I'm disappointed. If I look at the world, I'm anxious. If I look at the past, I have regrets. If I look at the future, I'm just troubled to death, ain't I? Where am I looking? Not to Christ. I have no peace. Tore all to pieces. Troubled waters. And I look to Him. Oh, everything's fine, ain't it? My leg hurts. You'll be all right. There He is. Wrecked my car. That's all right. The Lord sent that wreck, didn't He? We need mercies every day. And we need that to the end, don't we? He said up in verse 3, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into His hands and that He was come from God and went to God. That didn't happen to me. I was made here. He had no beginning and no end. I was born here. But I know Christ came from God because He is God. He's eternal. And that His work on my behalf and His work on the behalf of all His saints, all His people put in Him before time began, it's finished. There's nothing to add to it. Nothing can be taken away from that. It's forever. And when my appointed time comes, I'm going to Him. We just started working through Genesis back home and looked at heaven. There in Genesis, heaven's a capital H. Everybody wants to go to a place called heaven. Very few people want to go to a person called heaven. Heaven's wherever He is. That's who I'm going to. I'm going to a person. Because of what He did and what He's promised to me. What He's promised to His people, to you. That ain't to everyone, but not all. We know He's speaking to Judas here in verse 11. Don't we? For He knew who should betray Him. Therefore He said, You're not all clean. I've learned a lot from Judas the last couple of years. He took the Lord's Supper. First time he gave it. Judas was sitting there with him. Judas was sitting there and got his feet washed. Didn't he? And he knew. We wonder. Boy, what a pitiful thing to do. I wonder who the Lord's sheep are, who the goats are, and this and that. Oh, that's don't go down that road. The Lord knew. He ate the bread and wine. The Lord knew that was Judas. He washed his feet. Walked with him. Stayed in the same room. Told him to go buy some groceries. He's the treasurer. Boy, I could learn from him. Why did the Spirit move on John to say that twice to us? You're not all clean. They're all washed, even Judas. He was showing us it wasn't the physical washing that was miraculous. It wasn't nothing to do in this body that can be physically done or that we can physically do that saves us, that purifies us forever, that was given life. It was the Lord's person and His work at Calvary. What was to come, what that typified, what that represented is what it showed us. Just as it is for you and me. After all this work's done, Christ is now on His throne in glory, isn't He? And we're informed about it. The Holy Spirit comes to us and tells us about it, don't He? They did this for Him. He showed them. Look here in verse 12. This is precious. So after He had washed their feet, all that sin that was me, this dirt, this mud, it was laid on Him. He made me clean. He became me. That sin there is a feminine noun. And I find that just amazing. What's a feminine man? The bride. He was made me, and I was made Him. That's what happened. He became me. After He had washed their feet and had taken His garments, He went and got His garments He took off, put back on, didn't He? Where'd that towel go? Where'd that girded towel with all that mud, all that Kevin all over, where'd it go? As far as the east is from the west. Not to be remembered no more. It's blotted out. It's gone. Plumb gone. He's wearing His robe of righteousness one more time. He was set down in His rightful robe, seated at the right hand of the Father, and He said unto them, know you what I've done to you? What the Lord's done for you? The hour's coming where you're going to physically see this played out, these disciples, but He's washed every whit clean. And daily He washes His people. Ever making intercession for His people. He says, I've forgiven you eternally. That's what I've done for you. And He did it all. Multiple times a day we are told to forgive the trespasses of our brethren. Poor Peter. He grew up under the law. He didn't know no better. That's what he was used to. That's the language he spoke. Forgive your brethren. How many times? Give me a number. I need rules even though I'm free from the rules. It's a 70 times 7. I'd have got a calculator. I said it one time, but I got the math wrong. I got to write that down in my notes. But 70 times 7. Forgive the sin of your brethren. They got dust on their feet. You got dust on your feet. Take a water hose. It's washed away. Let go down the drain. Forget about it. There'll be more tomorrow. Hope they forgive yours, right? Look here in verse 13. You call me Master and Lord, and you say, well, for so I am. If I then, your Lord and Master, have washed your feet. I've took the lowest position. I have bore your sin. You also ought to wash one another's feet. We need to forget the sin of those that Christ died for. Because. Why? Because He forgot them. He put them away. That towel's gone. The dirt's gone. We're every whit clean. He forgot it. We need to. Paul said, who can lay anything to the charge of God's elect? My Bible, I got who underlined, and I wrote next to it, even me. Does this apply if we're on a deserted island? It does, don't it? Gospel don't change. Because Christ doesn't change. This outward act that was performed, this wasn't an ordinance. Few people do that. In Pennsylvania and stuff, they want to wash each other's feet. They always do it sporadically, don't they? Every 3 months, every 6 months, once a year, or something like that. It's not every day. It's every now and then. He says here in verse 15, for I have given you an example that you should do as I have done to you. Those who are His own, they've been washed in the blood. They'll have a heart of forgiveness. They'll have a heart of mercy because they've had mercy shown to them. They'll love because they've been loved. They'll forgive because they've been forgiven much. They will. And it's going to overflow. That cup's going to run over it. It's going to be, there's so much. It's got to come out of you. You can't help it. Verse 16 says, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord, neither is he that is sent greater than he that sent him." It's going to happen. Like I said the other night, you can serve the Lord's people and not serve God, but you can't serve God without serving His people. What's serving? Loving them, forgiving them, washing that dust away, right? Merciful, patient, long-suffering, kind. Put it away. It's gone. You have to do it again tomorrow. So you can get used to it. It's going to happen again. It says in verse 17, if you know these things. When he asked him, he said, you know what I've done for you? If you know that, if you know that Christ died for your sins, for you, came you, made you righteous forever. Therefore now no condemnation between you and the holy God you offended. If you know those things, oh, you're happy if you do them. Happy, willingly, just as our servant, our Christ, our high priest and our kinsman redeemer, everything, gladly came to us. Willingly went to that cross, we willingly do as He did. Every time we give, we forgive, we love, we're long-suffering, it's always because we know these things. We walk not after this physical washing of the feet, but we know that Christ washed us in the heart, and we're happy to do as He did. I pray He'd wash us today. Let's pray.
If ever I've heard the gospel I heard this morning, that was outstanding. I left my shoes on, but Kevin, you washed my feet. Refreshed. You notice how He refreshed us. Pointing to the Christ. Preaching the person of Christ. Oh, I'm so thankful. Now we're going to take a 15-minute break. And for those of you that don't know me, I'm a little bit time conscious. So 15 minutes. Let's rush back. Chris has got good news in far country. I'm anxious to hear it. So let's not take no more than 15 minutes, okay? When you hear the music, start playing, come back, get your seat. All right.